All right, hello there. I'm Trevor Loudon with another episode of the Riding the Pine podcast. Here I am with, as usual, Simon Dougalas, Brett Bone, and a couple new guests. We have Mr. Ed Eliaki and Jeff Matati joining us. Why don't you give them a little Ed? Why don't you say a little word? Hi, I'm Ed.
Hello!
And...
thanks for having me.
All right, cool.
A little more subdued on that one.
So, this week... Nicky Smash isn't here again because he's too busy working, as he does.
It's almost time to put him on like the side of a milk carton. Where is he? He's missing. We want him back, Smash. Get back here.
Exactly. So the first quarter today, or first period, I guess, will be a week two recap of the NFL. We'll talk about RG3. Oh, where are the Saints? And we'll talk about penalties. And then we're going to go into some power rankings for a segment. The second period, it's the NBA and NHL offseason. That doesn't mean we don't need to talk about it. The NBA released its top 100 players. Number 100 is number one in our hearts over here at RTP.
It was an exciting day.
And over in Columbus, Ryan Johansson's asking for a whole lot of Skrill. Does he deserve it? We'll talk about it. And in the third period... we'll look forward to week three key matchups in the NFL. All that, plus some great segments. And, let's just kick it all off with a week two recap. Let's start it off by talking about what happened to RG3. First off, it was kind of ugly.
It was gross.
A dislocated ankle. I don't even know what that feels like. But why don't we throw this out to the table? What did this mean for Washington? What do you think, Jeff?
I think it's an opportunity for them to legitimately find out if they have something in Kirk Cousins, because I think the thing that made RG3 so good was his mobility, and with this ankle and the knee last year, he's not really going to be the same quarterback that they drafted him to be. People are really high on Kirk Cousins too.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, there's a lot of reports coming out from Washington that like Jay Gruden always wanted Cousins to take the job. He thinks he's like a better fit for the system that he wants to run and all this stuff. So we'll get to see kind of really what Cousins have, or what they have in Cousins. I think that they're saying about the injury, it's what, like 6 to 8 weeks or something like that?
Best case scenario, it's 5, I think. But that's like everything goes well with this guy, which it's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be at least 2 months.
So you're going to see, over the next several weeks, like he's going to get a legitimate chance to kind of show that he can run this offense, show that he can run Gruden's offense. And I don't think the Redskins are necessarily done because of this, because Griffin wasn't super good in the first couple weeks. But it'll be kind of really interesting to see If Cousins is a starter in the National Football League.
He looked good against Jacksonville. Granted, it's Jacksonville.
I would look unreal against Jacksonville.
Philly didn't look that good against Jacksonville the week before, so.
Yeah, good point. Except for that second half.
Well, yeah.
Brett? It'll be interesting to see, too, how the Redskins do until RG3 is ready to come back. So say that's 6 to 8 weeks. So say Cousins has them in a position to either make a run at a playoff spot, or maybe they're even in a playoff spot somehow. When RG3 is healthy enough to come back, if they want to put him in right away, because what if Cousins gets you to that point? Then do you put in RG3, the fragile man that he is, and hope that he has a really, really strong last couple weeks to close out your season and hopefully, get that playoff spot? I mean, it's all obviously dependent on what Kirk can do here, but... yeah, I think you keep Kirk in. If he brings you to that point, RG3, say week 14 or 15, he's ready to come back. Why would you change the formula that has got you to that point?
Yeah, Cousins said all the right stuff in that presser. Like after the injury, he was like, this is Robert's team. I'm just here to kind of hold the fort until he comes back. But if they're like 3 games over .500 in, have one of those wild card spots or at least in contention, like, you can't switch quarterbacks at that point, can you?
No, but what's more likely is that they're going to be struggling and being like 3-7, 4-6, which is like...
but even at that point, did you put Griffin back in?
Well, no, that's what I was going to say. That's probably what the team was going to be like with RG anyway. I think you got to see how long he's out for. If he misses, if he's not back until like week 12, there's no real point in putting him in. You might as well let him get healthy again, I guess, and kind of have like
rehab for RG, yeah, that's the thing. It's
like I feel like one of these guys is gonna not be on the team next season, and I think Kirk Cousins play determines which one that is.
Imagine they would give up RG3 after giving the house to get him just 3 years back, and then just pulling off a huge deal. That'd be
crazy. What happens.
Yeah, things change quickly.
things can change quickly.
That rookie season was really good.
There's a lot of hype around Kirk Cousins, though. Even from the offseason, like Jaworski and Joe Theismann.
He completed his first 12 passes last week, Jeff. So, obviously.
So he's living up to the hype.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I've been a big fan of Kirk Cousins since his days at Michigan State, which is quietly a quarterback factory.
There you go.
But, I don't know. I'm excited to watch how he does, even though he plays for the Redskins.
Yeah, so they're at Philly this
week. The Washington football team.
There you go. Yeah. They're at Philly this week. Little division. I guess the winner of that is in the lead of the division, potentially?
Well, potentially. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because they'd at least be 1-0 in the division, or have either. Well, whatever. Yeah. There you go.
The winner of that game will be the division leader.
So, I mean, if Kirk Cousins can lead them to an early division lead. There you go.
2-1.
Yeah. Okay. Next topic we were going to cover just for this little week 2 recap. I know Simon will probably have a lot to say about this. Oh, when the Saints. When will the Saints win a game?
It pains me, boys. Like, I think I mentioned this last week. I am a diehard Saints fan. They're my boys. I love them. I've got a Breeze jersey. I've got an Aaron Brooks jersey. I've got a Tracy Porter Super Bowl patch jersey because that guy sealed it. But the first couple weeks were not good.
Bad.
Not good at
They're
all.
Bad.
They were really bad. There were so many hopes for this defense after Rob Ryan. I think they finished like fourth in total defense last year. Huge hope that, you know, that was the missing piece for them. Now they'll be good. And through the first couple weeks, it's been ugly. They don't know how to tackle.
Which is important in football.
Yeah, turns out that's a good good thing to have in your repertoire. It's funny watching a team like the Seahawks compared to watching the team against the Saints. Like the Seahawks, it's almost the first guy to the ball gets him down almost every time. Like they're just so consistent at tackling. Meanwhile, the Saints, like, two blown tackles, 20 yards later, some guy's gently pushing him out of bounds. Like it's ugly, but there is some hope, boys. We're going back home. The Saints are going to the Superdome. So I'm assuming they're going to win. They got Minnesota this week at home.
That's probably why they're going to win.
I think they should probably win this one. And then their schedule for the next little bit goes at Dallas.
Which is probably a loss.
Okay. Okay. Matani, the diehard Cowboys fan.
We got the right
fan.
People in the room to talk about that one.
Yeah.
Then they've got home against Tampa, at Detroit, home against Green Bay, at Carolina, home against San Francisco, home against Cincinnati. Like, that's a tough schedule.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
I think they're something like 17-0 in their last 17 home games, which when Sean Payton's been on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they can get some of those home games, but it's not panic time, but I mean, this is almost a must win against, and luckily it's a must win against Minnesota, because, you know, that should work out pretty well. No AP. But, yeah, it's getting kind of scary for me, boys. They were a bit of a Super Bowl pick. Yeah. I know they were Matati's Super Bowl pick.
I was as high as anyone on this team. I thought they were going to be maybe pushing 13 wins. They got to almost run the table to get that prediction right. But
watching that Cleveland game.
The thing that worries me is this. I thought the secondary was going to be a strong point.
Bringing in
Bird and Vaccaro's back healthy. But they've had some busts in coverage. Those safeties missed so many tackles.
It's
like
terrible.
You said,
yeah.
Like to lose against Cleveland, huge bust. Leave the guy. No one was within 10 yards of him. Like
15. That's a joke. Watching that game,
that's
man.
Very.
When they scored,
concerning.
Like when they scored to go up, and Cleveland got the ball back, I turned to my buddy and I said,
"It's 2 weeks in a row.
The
they've
it's
let
terrible.
A team drive down to tie and or win the game, and it's just it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad defense.
The offense is still humming. Brandon Cooks looks." Awesome. They're getting them the ball in some pretty interesting ways.
That Mark Ingram injury, though.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you will not find a bigger Kyrie Robinson fan than me. I love Kyrie Robinson. I'm banking on him going.
First 2 weeks?
Ingram was looking good.
Yeah. You have him, don't you?
Yeah, he's been on my bench for the first 2 weeks, so I haven't got to enjoy any of the success. But
I love that all of a sudden, out of him, Trent Richardson, and Lacey, who'd have thought that he'd look the best through 2 weeks out of all those three Alabama guys?
Woo!
Roll Tide!
Third topic we wanted to touch on. I know Jeff really wanted to touch on this. There have been a whole lot of penalties.
A whole lot of ridiculous penalties, too. Like, I know the league said they wanted to emphasize defensive illegal contact downfield and stuff, but it's to the point now where defensive backs are glorified pylons on the field. Watching the Thursday night or last week, the Baltimore-Pittsburgh, Polamalu got flagged for a penalty, and it's shoulder to chest. Like, that's what the league has said they wanted. They said they wanted to take headshots out. They don't want defenders leading with their head. And now these DBs are still doing it, and they're finding excuses, like defenseless receiver. Like, what is that? That's like, if a receiver goes up for a contested ball and gets hit, it's a flag.
Yeah.
You can't play defense anymore.
Well, and weirdly, now you see, like, you've seen safeties, like, allow the catch in front of them and then just try to, like,
it's like, it's rugby now. There's no hitting. It's just wrapping up and taking to the ground. Anything aggressive is anything that looks...
Do you think that's because of the rules, or do you think that's because, like, of a, like, an unclear, I guess...
I think the refs are so confused now. They don't even know what they're supposed to. It's like a catch in they like the NFL's blurred or over-defined all these rules that people don't even know what they're looking at anymore.
Yeah.
And like when in doubt, you know, the refs I think are told when in doubt, flag. Yeah. Throw a flag. Yeah.
So I guess ridiculous. Like what would the remedy to that problem be?
I think the NFL I don't know what the remedy might be full-time refs.
Yeah.
Who are trained at this all, because these guys are part-timers.
And don't have other jobs.
Yeah. Like, dedicate yourself to reffing and making sure that everyone fully understands that there's going to be big hits. It's football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's a big problem. The NFL overreacted and was like, we got to take out all these big shots. But, like, it's the nature of the sport.
Do you think you could ever review pass interference calls, defensive holding, illegal contact? Do you think it could ever be reviewable?
The CFL has put in pass interference review.
You don't think it's the worst idea.
It hasn't been that bad. Bill Belichick wants the NFL to look into it. But I think if you start micromanaging...
I think if you start micromanaging
like illegal contacts and stuff, these games are going to be pushing 4 hours, and no one wants that.
That'll get ridiculous.
It's bad enough as it is. I just think you need to You need to let the boys play. I think that's what it comes down to. It's like, stop policing it so much.
Yeah, I guess. Think. Or make it at least, like, a clear, defined rule.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Ronnie Law would not be allowed to play a game in, like, the current NFL climate.
He'd be a lifelong
ban.
Like, I don't know. I get safety.
Breathe on
but, like, Jack
Tatum. And they want scoring, but, just because there's lots of points being scored, that isn't necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
I think you want good football, and big hits are exciting. People love hits.
Mm-hmm. That segment that ESPN used to run jacked up was one of the best parts
thing
of Sunday.
But like, I get you don't want these head-to-head ones. I understand that. But shoulder to chest, like, come on.
Yeah.
These guys know what they're doing when they strap up the pads.
Quickly, I wanted to touch on what happened last night.
Oh, God.
Anyone want to, you know, give a little remark as to
Tampa Bay didn't show up, right? I mean, they didn't show up.
There was a pretty funny tweet about, like, you know, we should all be applauding the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for taking a stand and trying to boycott the NFL. It was ugly. One team showed up. It was terrible.
How much do you think the fact that it's a Thursday night? I know two teams have to play on the
Thursday
night.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I know, but like, how much is that to blame?
I don't think. Like, to the extent that
they're
played,
pros,
one team can't just play that well, and then the other team just play. Well, it's the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Matt Tidcombe and the Footy Roundup.
I mean, the Thursday games are bad.
Over under on making it to the halftime for Tidsy in that game.
Oh God! Oh. If I was hit, like, I don't know, I would have.
I went through that. I went through that twice last year.
Yeah,
where I shut the TV off before the half.
Oh.
Watching Cowboys losses last year. I mean, I did come back and check it out in the third quarter just to be further disappointed.
But then you turned it right back off.
One thing, though, Tampa's defense, get me some fantasy points despite giving up a huge scoreline.
How was Rainey for you?
Not awful. Two fumbles, which was kind of bad, but he got some garbage.
Like minus 4 points.
Yeah, but he got garbage receiving yards, dink and dunk. He ended up with 65 receiving yards.
This was brutal. I'm playing Matadi in fantasy this week, and like the fact that Tampa defense got 11 points.
That's so ridiculous.
Like, that's the equivalent of a guy running for 110, like a running back going for 110 yards. They gave up
49 points, but they forced 3 turnovers.
Oh, God.
And they scored a defensive
touchdown.
I
woke up and like saw that there was 11 points. I was like, what is going on? I looked at the box score, defensive touchdown. I was just so angry this morning at 9:30 in my bed.
Last week in another league, I lost because J.J. Watt caught a touchdown pass.
That's tough.
Oh, that's brutal.
So
that's tough. And you know what the listeners love? Hearing about our fantasy football team.
Exactly.
So I got a beef to pick, speaking of fantasy football, with Roberto right now. He had to draft my team because I wasn't able there. two of my running backs, Ryan Matthews and Mark Ingram. So now I'm just waiver wire, plug and play.
Thanks for nothing, Roberto.
Yeah, exactly.
Never get a Brazilian to draft your fantasy football team. Lesson learned.
I mean, you'd think they'd be savvy football.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, next, we got a first segment of the day. We're doing a quick little power ranking. There's only three things that we are going to be... Wait. We're going to do a power ranking.
Power ranking.
All right, that definitely...
good at that.
Yeah.
I'm getting good at that.
Okay, so this one is just... There's only three things in this power ranking. It's from our favorite place, you know, constant staple of the RTP podcast, McDonald's.
Dirty Ron's.
I'm loving it.
So the three sandwiches on the Canadian Value Pick menu, three main sandwiches, are the McDouble, the Bacon Cheeseburger, and the Junior Chicken. We will go around the table and you will rank them 3-1, three being the worst, one being the best. Let's kick it off with the Brett Bone, as usual.
All right. Well, number three.
Oh God,
let's get this straight. First of all, they're all pretty good burgers. Like, I would never ever say no to one of these burgers, but you know, they have to be ranked, so here we go. Number three, the Bacon Cheeseburger.
Whoa.
I like bacon. Like, I like cheese. I like burgers. I like everything involved in it. I just like the other two better. It's as simple as that.
Okay.
McDouble, number two.
Whoa, so why the number three, though? Why so low? Just the other ones are better, or?
I just said that.
You'd say why, you know, though.
Man, we have a limited amount of time. We have five guys to get through for this. We don't need to...
Yo, five guys.
Number one, obviously, is the Junior Chicken. I love chicken burgers. I love chicken in between patties and
Brett
all
also,
that.
Brett, okay, chicken. Yeah, get this.
I like chicken.
Get
I just
this, Brett,
I like we're a good a... piece of poultry. I do.
We're at a hot dog stand.
Even better is a Junior Chicken with cheese, because you know they don't come with cheese on the value. I mean, it's kind of cheating a little bit, but
that's
Junior
totally
Chicken,
cheating.
McDouble, bacon cheese, three. You know.
Okay,
go
just
ahead.
Quick story right here. We're outside the Rogers Center today, and Brett goes up to the hot dog stand, and the guy's like, "Yeah, we got like sausages and hot dogs." He's like, "Yeah, can I get a chicken dog?"
Yeah.
Yeah,
100%.
Is that a real thing? Yeah, chicken dog?
Yeah.
Switched to a hot Italian sausage after that, which I was very happy
about. But originally ordered the chicken dog. Yeah, even the guy at the stand was laughing at him.
I'm not afraid to admit it. I got nothing to hide.
All right. Goose, what do you got?
You know what? I'm going to mirror Brett's power rankings.
Love it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Wow. The bacon. Here's the thing about
no
the
surprise
bacon.
There.
I don't want bacon from McDonald's.
It's not even good bacon.
It's like that microwaved, like, I want some crispy bacon.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So that's why the bacon cheeseburger. You know what Brett said? I wouldn't say no to that. I honestly think I would say no to that.
Whoa.
Oh.
That's the same guy.
That's how much I don't like it.
This is the same guy who, but an hour ago, was talking to me about how underrated the Filet-O-Fish sandwich was.
I second that.
Yes.
What?
This man knows.
Oh,
yeah, Filet-O-Fish.
It is underrated. It's the cheapest one.
Hidden gem of fast food.
Yeah.
But number two, double or McDouble.
Yeah,
love the double patties. And the Junior Chicken is just amazing.
The best.
Yeah, it's
like
just
I think
amazing.
The only way you make it better is if you make it a spicy chicken.
Sure,
from Wendy's.
Sure.
But,
wow,
I'm like, that's going way off the board.
Yeah, that's
so,
that's a little off the charts. Let's go to Edward Aliaki for this one.
Because we only got three choices. Yeah. I'm gonna say McDouble.
Is number three?
Number one. I'm going from the top.
Whoa.
McDouble. Double cheeseburger. It's not a value pick, but it's only $1.89. That's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
And then I'll go
kind of defeating the purpose of the segment. But
and I'm just gonna throw the
Junior
Chicken. I'm throwing the Junior Chicken out the window.
Wow.
No. I don't like chicken burgers.
Oh
whoa.
Man.
Whoa.
Yo, Brett.
Against the
grain.
Deal with it. And
you
Brett,
got chicken
I know
with
you're
this
a
guy.
Big you're a big rap guy. You're a big rap artist when it comes to McDonald's.
But that was the power rankings. The power rankings was the $1.39 menu and the burgers on it. There were
you
only
like
three
you like
options.
It with cheese? Whatever. I'm gonna. Add my own little spice to it.
Eddie comes on and makes his own
rules. Yeah.
He doesn't play by other people's rules. All right, so for me, I'm going McDouble, bottom, bacon cheese, middle, McChicken, top. It's a
fair.
Great sandwich. It's a delicious sandwich. Sometimes there's too much mayo on the McChicken. Like, does anyone else find
that's
that?
Sometimes they do that.
That's one of the few things, burgers, that I'll eat with the mayonnaise. I'll
yeah, oh yeah.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
I try to eliminate as much mayo as I can, but for the Junior Chicken.
It isn't mayo. It's actually McChicken sauce.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what they call it.
A little bit.
Even better.
Mayo.
Even
that's
better. Yo, McDonald's knows, man. They
kind of
sketchy to make it.
No, it's good. It's really good.
It's like
sometimes I dip my fries in McChicken sauce.
Leftover.
You get a couple packets.
It's always
of it,
like that last bite. It's just like 90% white sauce
with a bit of the shredded lettuce.
Yeah. Just fun.
Yeah, I'm going with the same as Brett. I gotta go, but also my burgers gotta have no ketchup on them.
Wow.
Yeah. Can't eat ketchup, man. It's just wow. something.
I like ketchup on the bacon, not on the other two.
Wow.
I can't stand ketchup. Oh, you know, that's, since
well, I
childhood.
I can't stand you now.
Yeah. All right. Second period. We'll make this quick. NBA came out with its top 100. And who is number 100, Simon?
Okay. This was an exciting moment for all of us. Number 100 on SI.com's list of top 100 players, none other than RTP favorite, Fat Boris Diaw.
I
would have bumped him up probably top 10, being on the list is an honor. That guy is a hero to us all. That guy should have won Finals MVP. Yeah.
Whatever.
Get
you
out of here, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
The list came out. It was Rob Mahoney and Ben Gulliver over at SI.com. They're awesome basketball writers. Check the list out. Just some things to point out. Let's go with a little CanCon, a little Toronto content, since we are based in Toronto.
Yeah.
Four Raptors on the list. Pretty good. Jonas Valanciunas came in at 80. They were just saying, you know, he's one of the most vaunted big men or young big men in the league, and how he was, you know, a staple of a playoff team, which a lot of other young big men can't say. So there you go. You said you don't know if you agree with that.
No, I said I tend to agree
with
that. Oh,
yeah. No, that's true. Number 71, higher than Jonas Valanciunas, Amir Johnson. Mm. Shout out to him. The little kind of blurb was a lot of the stuff he does doesn't show up in the box score, but he's incredibly valuable to that team, which is totally true. Big hustle guy. DeMar DeRozan came in at 61, which, you know.
A little low?
Yeah, I thought it was a little low. Like, he's limited. Like, yeah. He's not a great player, but I thought, you know, he was all-star.
11th in the league in points. Or
yeah, and he was the all-star on a three seed in the East, so I thought he'd be a little higher. And Kyle Lowry clocks in at number 30. So,
30.
Nice, Kyle Lowry.
Is there anybody above Lowry that you wouldn't have put above him?
I don't have the list in front of me.
Okay, no, that's
Thanks
fine.
Thanks for just sewering me, Scoops.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
But, yeah, probably.
Yeah. I know Anthony Davis was number 6. What were your thoughts
that
on that?
That was another thing I wanted to talk about. Anthony Davis is number 6, which is pretty high, but I'm going to go ahead and agree with it.
Is that, like, based on potential?
Yeah, it's kind of like they're trying to project who the most important players for the upcoming season are. So I think they're kind of projecting that the Pelicans will be a good team, because like Tyreke Evans was on there and Ryan Anderson was on there and
Drew Holiday on there.
Drew Holiday was on there and Ashik, who they got, was on there. So like pretty much their whole starting lineup.
So is this like 100 top 100? That's pretty aggressive for listing NBA, considering there's only 5 guys on the court.
Yeah.
Time,
yeah. Like, well, and so I was amazed that Ashik was even on the list. Like, I guess it makes sense if you're saying that you know, your power forward's good, and so it's going to be important to have like a rim protecting big who can eat some of those minutes. Think about Anthony Davis though, when he came out during the FIBA World Championships where he was like USA's best player. The kid is a beast. He's so good defensively. He's so long. He alters so many shots. Like, you can't shoot at the rim if he's under there. And his offensive game is getting way, way better. He's like a terror in pick and rolls. He can finish, or he's getting better at finishing. 6 might be a little high, but I'd put him
top 10
of the top 10, somewhere around there. So couldn't beef with that. One other interesting guy was Joakim Noah, was in at 17, which I thought was a little low only because the Bulls are like the only – everyone's saying the Bulls are the only threat to Cleveland in the East, and Joakim Noah
– was their best player.
Their best player. And like even with Derrick Rose back, he's – so important to that team. Like, he's such a good passer. He's their best defender. So I would put him a little higher, just assuming that, you know, if they're actually going to give the Cavs a run, it's in a lot of ways going to come down to old Joakim Noah, who just has the ugliest shot I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. And one of the uglier faces.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt.
Quickly, while we're still in the quarter of off-season sports, I know Brett wanted to talk about a certain thing going on down in Columbus with Ryan Johansson, asking for 6.5 schmil a year.
Yeah, that's a little much. That's a lot.
Off of a 63-point season.
Mm-hmm.
The season before that, he was getting healthy scratches in the A.
Yeah.
Like,
the thing is Meteor both sides obviously have an argument, right?
And yeah.
what Johansson and his team is going to say is, look at what Ryan did last year. Look at his age. Look at how much, you know, how long he's been in the league. Like, look at how much he can grow, right? He's 21 years old.
Mm.
And they can also say, hey, you know, we are asking for a lot, but also you thought I was going to turn into a very good player because you drafted me fourth overall. Like, someone expected this from Johansson eventually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he was a second or a third or a fifth or a sixth round pick just breaking out of nowhere. It's like this was expected from him. He did it last year. So that's Columbus's argument. Hey, you did it for 1 year. You know, we'd like to see that a little bigger sample size than one 30-30 season, which, albeit good, isn't necessarily great. There's multiple guys going 30-30 every year.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he turned down an 8-year, $5.75 million contract. So that's a lot of security. He turned down tens and tens of millions of dollars guaranteed, banking on himself outperforming that contract, which, making almost $6 million a year, I mean, that's basically what number one centers get in this league. Like, that would be around what the average number one center would get. So I think he's being a little bit greedy. I think that him and his agent, and I mean, training camp started. He's obviously not there. He's holding out. So it's anybody's guess to how it turns out. I mean, you'd think they would get something done before the season starts, but Columbus is saying they're not caving to 6.5.
Yeah.
Johansson's already said 5.75 isn't good enough, so it's do we go from here?
I think they've settled on like a 2-year bridge deal. Like, I don't know how much money it's gonna be, but I think the Johansson camp has said we're gonna do a 2-year deal.
Yeah,
see where it goes from there.
They're asking really high.
That would make sense. But yeah, for the like bridge,
do a little PK bridge.
Yeah, I know that
some of the comments coming out of the like Columbus management side are awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're ripping.
They're like not ideal when you're negotiating a new contract.
No, to just sewer the agent so hard.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I mean, like the GM did have a point. He talked about how like we're not a team that can rely on a few guys right now. We're a team that we need all of you like playing with each other all the time. And this is just kind of putting a little wrench in that issue. And if we want to give you money, you know, be part of the team. I don't know.
But I think the bridge is the answer. Good players on the team. He is a good player for them. I think Gord Kirk talking about how when before they even signed Rick Nash, they had him on like their tickets and all this and that. And so he used that as leverage, saying maybe he won't sign with you guys or whatever this and that. So maybe they're just trying to flex their muscles a little bit and not get bossed around by players because they maybe have been in the past because they're a smaller market and you know, big names sell jerseys, but they're not trying to do that. They're trying to win some games, more of a team thing than an individual.
I'd
agree with that. John Davidson's the guy in Columbus now, and he said that he doesn't want to get pushed around. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that on him. And as much as they want Ryan on the team, especially to start the season and gain that chemistry in training camp, they're not necessarily going to cave in and give him exactly what he wants. It's got to be mutually beneficial for both sides. So we'll see how it plays out in the next couple of weeks.
All right, Brett, it's your time with the podcast. It's time for Brett's bold claim, everybody.
I love Brett's bold claims. What were some of the previous ones?
Mark Burley getting 25 wins on the season.
No, it was 23.
23, I think it was
23 actually.
Where is he at now? I don't think he's won since then.
Yeah.
The best part is like how we first described Brett's bold claims are like claims that like probably won't happen, but they're bold.
Yeah. And the other thing for the new guys that aren't around here, when Brett says his bold claim, there are no rebuttals allowed. So you just got to sit with it.
Just accept it.
You know what? I got one now. I actually didn't prepare one, so this is coming a little bit off the top of the old noggin.
Okay,
but,
let's hear
extra
it.
Bold this week.
I'm gonna go to my boy Timmy Brady here and pull something off on him. So here we go. Timmy Brady is going to throw for 4,500 yards this year and over 30 touchdowns. I think that's very doable. It's bold. That's a lot of yards, almost 300 a game. But there it is.
One word, Jeff?
Unbold.
Okay. Not bold enough. All right.
Also,
let's.
By the way, for those of you confused, Timmy Brady is Tom Brady.
Of course.
All right.
I don't even know why I say Timmy Brady.
They're tight like that, you know?
Yeah. Third period. Let's just go into some key matchups. Let's make this kind of quick. First week. First one we're going to look at is San Diego at Buffalo. I've looked across like so many affiliates online. Most of the picks I've seen across the major outlets are... most of the picks I've seen, sorry, I was getting distracted there, are picking the Bills at home, citing mainly San Diego's troubles on the East Coast, as well as Rivers' inconsistency. What are your thoughts on this around the table?
Well, Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal were also really weary about traveling east, but man, San Diego just beat Seattle, who like looked so clearly like they were the best team in the league after 1 week.
Phil looked amazing.
He looked amazing.
I know.
Antonio Gates.
He looked
turned
like a
back
stud.
I think people keep forgetting how good Phil Rivers really is because he has such an awful delivery.
Yeah.
And personality. He, he's a bit of,
Bolo?
He's a bit of a jerk. No, the Bolo's sick, but he's kind of a jerk.
But I think he's an absolute stud, and I'm San Diego.
Like, yeah, I'm going San Diego. We got three. We got four. We got four.
I mean, it's Buffalo. Things can't be going this good for that long.
The Bills make me want to shit. Man, I love going to Bills.
They say, like, how long can San Diego, like, or can they, you know, come up with a big week again? But how long can, like, when since the last time Buffalo went 3-0? And, like,
and everything, like, pretty much everything I've, like, read, everyone's just kind of picking Buffalo on the fact that San Diego won't be able to do what they did last week. They're not
the
saying Buffalo's going to win this game.
Yeah,
and they're not giving any reasons for them to win.
That'd be the worst argument to pick
exactly.
for picking
That's
a
terrible.
Team like that, too.
That's not basing it on anything you've actually seen like on the field.
It's
like, terrible.
Come on. Like, it has to not happen.
Yeah, exactly. all right. Next key matchup is Denver at Seattle.
Super Bowl rematch.
Wow. Super Bowl rematch.
That's going to be sweet.
Seattle.
For sure.
I'm going
Seattle. Covering. Like, Seattle covering. They're mad. They're fired up.
What do you guys think about Denver last week squeaking by?
That was ugly.
A not like, very good Kansas City. I don't think Kansas City's that good.
No.
Jeff, you think Kansas City's
good? No, I don't. I don't think they're...
That was a confusing game.
Charles is out like the whole game, too. Yeah, so it was like not even their best player. It wasn't on the field.
A goal line stop to preserve that victory.
Denver was my lock of the week last week, and clearly they didn't cover. I'm a little upset with Denver. Yeah. Because of that, I'm going to go with Seattle just because I'm bitter right now.
I'm going with Seattle.
Thanks,
Ed?
Seattle.
All right, cool. We're kind of not being too fun here, but, you know, we all got reasons, right? Green Bay, Detroit.
I'm excited for this game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one.
I think there could be a million points scored.
Megatron.
1 million.
1 million.
Really excited for my fantasy team with Megatron and Golden Tate. I think it's going to be a big week.
Yo, this isn't riding the fantasy pool podcast.
So many fantasy implications.
So, Brad, I know you're big on Green Bay this week.
For sure, for sure. Just reading up on some quick stats before. Aaron Rodgers, 9-1 in his career against the Lions. I think it was 4-1 at Ford Field, so I don't really care that he's playing on the road in Detroit. I don't think that's a big deal at all. I don't think it's a deal. Like I said to you before, I mean, obviously it's not like this, but it's like Rodgers against Stafford. You know, that's one big matchup I look at, and like I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers 100% of the time in that matchup. Both pretty bad defense, not great defenses. Yeah. Green Bay maybe a little worse. But I was reading up also Detroit, apparently, like their slot backs, apparently a lot of their cornerbacks in the slot have been getting hurt, so like they're digging in deep into their defensive back depth. So look for maybe Boykin to have a big week. Green Bay, whoever their slot guy is, maybe Randall Cobb for old Jeffy here, maybe triple digit yards and a couple titters.
We somehow brought this back.
But, you know what? I'm going to go with Detroit.
Nice. Okay.
Big divisional win early.
Nice.
Stafford didn't look great last week, but he looked really good in week one.
Mm-hmm. Against the Giants, albeit.
Yeah, that's true. Green Bay doesn't have a top-level secondary.
No. Yeah.
And Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, and the rest of those guys.
The trio.
Reggie Bush. Like, if you're trying to ask, like, is A.J. Hawk going to cover Reggie Bush out of the backfield?
That would be a joke.
Like, that's going to be 200 yards from scrimmage for Reggie Bush.
And that's what I'm banking on.
Guess
who's starting this week?
But, you know what? I like Detroit.
Okay. All right. I'll take Detroit, too.
I'm going to go Green Bay, just because I think that in terms of matchups, Rodgers, regardless of Boykin, Nelson's gonna be dangerous out there.
He's
and,
so good.
Donkey Kong's mad though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm sorry. Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah. I can see Stafford throwing a few picks, and then that'll just push it over the edge.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get out of Stafford. Yeah. I'm going to go Green Bay, too. This one actually was really tough for me because I love that Detroit offense. I think they're so awesome. And, like, Joik, is that how you pronounce it, by the way? It is Joik, right?
Joik Bell.
Joik Bell is awesome. I was kind of like, I had my doubts about him, but he's
getting
fun
touches.
To watch. And he's getting those carries. And I don't know, he's really good. But I'm going to go Green Bay. I think that passing attack will just be able to. It's going to be a track meet. I think that
42-39.
Yeah, I think that passing attack's just going to wear down Detroit. I think they're going to. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I got Green Bay winning on the road.
All right, last part of this show. A lot of NFL this week, and we're going to finish it with some NFL. Lock of the week. Let's start with Brett.
Yeah, so I mean, what we just talked about for the last couple of minutes, I'm taking Green Bay. I think it's 1.5. It's 1.5 for Detroit. So even if they lose a one-point game, they would still cover, which is awesome, which I don't see them doing.
You ought to love
once
that
again. But, yeah, for all the reasons that we just said, I like Green Bay as the lock of the week in Detroit.
Mine was Cincy -7. Against Tennessee.
At home against Tennessee. Yeah. We talked last week about how much we all liked Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I still like Cincinnati. Yeah. At least
they're
in the
looking,
regular
they're looking so good right now.
They're good, man.
At home,
that defense is awesome.
Really good.
How about that, Andy Dalton?
Yeah, I know. Without.
that defense is awesome. I love that
very
defense.
Very good defense.
Go ahead.
I got a list of like five here that I was debating. You know what?
Pick one.
I'll go the Colts -7 at Jacksonville.
Second pick.
Jacksonville is terrible. Did you pick that?
Yeah, I was going to, but I chose Cincinnati.
Jacksonville's terrible. I told you guys on the pod last week how I'm not fully in love with the Colts because I think it's just Andrew Luck and a bunch of scrubs. But I still think Andrew Luck and a bunch of scrubs has enough to blow out the Jags.
Anything from the two guys? I see you both frantically looking at your phones. Why don't you just pick odds not considered?
Well, I was going to say Colts, but now I'm just looking through who's playing. And I'm going to go give a shout out to my boy Jeff here.
Nice.
And I'm going to give it to Dallas.
Oh, all right.
That was on my list.
And that's definitely going to be my lock of the week.
Yeah,
okay.
Especially because they were underdogs, or it's essentially a pick 'em game. But you know what? Houston going into New York.
Yeah.
Getting the win on the road.
That was on my list, too.
I think that's got Eli written, four picks written all over it.
JJ Watt, couple
I'm sorry.
Save this is going to be the most painful season for you.
But,
I think they're going to be terrible.
It's not
I
good.
I know.
Last year was pretty hard.
There's
alrighty.
Nothing good to feel.
Okay,
to feel good,
save
though.
It. All right.
But yeah,
Houston, lock it in.
Okay. That is all we have. I'm Trevor Loudon. You can follow me at Trev Loudon at Twitter. Simon Douglas.
I'm at Douglas, D-A-U-G-U-L-I-S.
We got Brett Bone.
At Brett Bone, 87. Sidney Crosby, you're the man.
And our special guest, Ed Eliaki.
Don't follow me on Twitter.
All right, R. Eliaki, I think.
Something like that.
And Jeff Matati.
I really don't know what my Twitter handle is anymore. I think I changed it because I got
that
one of those.
That speaks
volumes. Got those like internal messages, you know, where it's like I lost 20 pounds, so I had to change the password. And
yeah. All right. That is all. We're done for this week. That was the Ride in the Pine podcast, episode 7. Everybody have a good week. Watch some football.